Well, the monkeys are on the loose. And this is the news. According to me. Well, this is a fine how do you do. This is, so how do you do? This is me and I'm fine, and how do you do? Most importantly, how's my cup do? My cup right now, my cup is it was hot chocolate. You know, I was sitting here. You can see a red mark on the side of my head. Let me give you a different view here, because the let me give you a different view. There it is. Got too many buttons to push. You can actually see a red mark here where I've been sitting like this, waiting for Rumble. I have to be kind of careful what I say here because Rumble, I'm using Rumble. Maybe it's because I'm saying bad things about Rumble. They got to get their act together. The ability to go live has become very difficult. I'm noticing right now that I'm dropping frames, so I'm not sure how well this thing's actually going across. It looks like I'm dropping frames to this tune of about 8%. That's not good. That's probably more to do with my Wi-Fi connection here at this particular hotel. So that's probably part of the problem. I was just spending some time listening to Dr. Campbell just recently, just a couple minutes ago, actually, listening to Dr. Campbell here on the old the tube. Here on YouTube, and it's been interesting to see what's going on with Omicron. Now, I'm noticing a huge shift in public opinion, and it would seem that the tide has kind of turned. This has happened a couple times before, but it is really coming back right now. There are people coming out of the woodwork who are standing up to this thing finally, who seem to be actually speaking some truth to power in this case. The tide has definitely turned, or the powers that be are kind of on the run. Now, I think that part of this has to do with the Ukraine thing. There's a lot going on there that there's less, I guess, going on with regard to the news coverage. The censorship still continues. There's all kinds of things that are still continuing. However, there are doctors that are coming up. If you happen to get a chance to hear Tucker tonight, he had a doctor on there who finally came out. The guy was nervous. He was obviously almost like he was scared to say what he was saying. He was kind of shaking as he was saying this stuff, but he was basically coming out and saying people should not be getting the vaccine. Now, at this point, the vaccine, it should stop. He mentioned that Fauci came out and said that the monoclonal therapies that we had from the beginning, because the monoclonal therapies were based on the original COVID strain, they helped with Delta, but now he's basically saying they shouldn't be used at all because they're not at all effective against Omicron. Well, we're also finding that right now they're not effective against Omicron. Now, this guy apparently he didn't say anything about this. He alluded to it, but he didn't say anything about it. I don't know for sure if he has actually seen the data, but it sure seemed to me like he knew this and was afraid to say it. The data is showing that if you have been vaccinated, you are more susceptible to Omicron than you are if you were unvaccinated or had natural immunity, I should say, is more resistant and actually healthier among those who've had COVID before. And apparently, I was just listening to Doctor, I haven't gotten through the whole thing. I've gotten about halfway through his show, which is about 12 minutes. It usually comes on with about a 20-minute thing, I think once or twice a day, and talks about the data. And right now he's talking, once in a while he'll interview people or talk about data. Now, he is pro-vaccine. Now, he's thinking that this vaccine is the reason that we're seeing such mild cases with Omicron. However, and there's some conflicting data out of Africa Some areas are saying that Omicron is very deadly among the unvaccinated. This does not seem to be panning out in some other areas, and it's a little bit questionable as to whether or not that is actually true or not, if there's some other factor involved, because the numbers don't show that. So I think that there might be something else going on among some of the African nations that are not being seen in other places, and I'm not sure what that is or why that is. So the numbers aren't conclusive there. It's a little bit fuzzy. Could be, but it seems fuzzy. Numbers here are obviously, Delta is still out there, and Delta has still, obviously there's people not, Delta has hung on. For those who had Delta, it is hanging on for a longer period of time. Omicron seems to be, it is infectious, and usually you're over it within 5 days, regardless of your vaccination status, or your immunity status. The key here is that the original strain does not protect you from Omicron. The original vaccine does not protect you from Omicron. This doctor that Tucker was interviewing, it's very interesting that he mentioned that the strain was that the vaccine was actually almost detrimental now. If you by the time you get boosted, at this point you are actually starting to damage your immune system, the way I understood what he was saying. He was coming out pretty strong against it, which was, I thought, very interesting and very actually bold of him to do that. What he was talking about was the suspicions that I had had based on information, not based on my own opinions, but based on information that I had heard from other doctors as well, with regard to the protein spike thing and the actual way that this vaccine worked. The one thing that Malone was concerned about was that this was not actually using protein spike. It was using cytotoxicity to fight the virus. And that makes sense now with what he described, what he thought. This is prior to when the vaccine came out. And he's been vaccinated. He wasn't anti-vax. He'd been vaccinated. But he was saying that he didn't think that the way this vaccine was working was exactly the way that mRNA technology was supposed to work. He was basically saying that they're using cytotoxicity to work around the spike protein, which makes sense because of the way this vaccine has functioned. It's been very specific and very narrow focused on a particular strain of COVID. And so that's why it didn't have any broad spectrum. It didn't have nearly as broad a spectrum of immunity as natural immunity did. And the natural immunity had, they were saying from the very beginning, anybody who's doing any research or looked at the numbers, and Dr. Campbell agrees to this, that natural immunity has by far better, you know, a wider breadth of immunity than the vaccine did. Vaccine mandates are being dropped like rocks all around the country. There's places where there's still the areas where they're ridiculous. I guess there's some areas where Walmart, I guess some local store managers or regional store managers have decided that they're going to, if you walk into a Walmart and you're unvaccinated, you're going to be ushered around to make sure you only buy pharma and food. Which is, this again, this is just ignorance on their part to think that this is, because if you're vaccinated, you're still spreading it and you're still getting it and spreading it. It's, Omicron is a very different animal. If they're not paying attention at all, if that's what they're doing, this is just stupid. It's just ignorance on their part. Some of the most vaccinated countries in the world, Israel being among one of those, is seeing some of the highest spikes they've had since the beginning of this whole thing, right now, 2 years after this thing was introduced, after this thing was discovered, in our populations. Israel now, with the highest vaccination rate, is also one of the highest vaccination rates, is also seeing one of the highest spikes in COVID in Omicron, COVID. So it is becoming very obvious that the vaccine is not protecting against Omicron. I almost feel bad if anybody's not getting Omicron at this point, because this is probably going to be the thing. And the reason it's taking over and Delta's falling away is because it is giving people immunity to Delta. It's one of the most aggressive and probably the most contagious. However, it is upper respiratory and its symptoms are mild. But it actually gives you better immunity than any vaccines that are out there now. Now, don't get me wrong. Pharma has tapped into the cash cow here. They got everybody scared and they're all running through money piles right now. And they want to continue to do that. And this money is not coming from people. It's coming from the government. It's a channel that they've gotten through. They've got this new stream of flow of money. And they're not going to want to give that up. They want to keep this thing going. They want to milk that cow as long as they can. It's a lot easier than going out they don't have to pay for marketing firms. They don't have to pay for salesmen. They don't have to pay for store shelves and all the other things that pharma usually has to pay for. And they're protected. They're completely protected from any kind of liability. This is the dream come true for pharma. I mean, they've lived a pretty lavish existence so far, and this is just the cherry on top of everything. More than a cherry, this is actually the top of the top. Pretty amazing. As we see this start to unfold, it's interesting to see now how some people are fighting back to some extent. And I think that's probably what has become most interesting in this whole process, is to see that there's, let me turn that down a little bit so you don't have to listen to that bouncing around. It's just interesting to see that there are people coming back and fighting back. People are saying that the mask mandates, they're dropping mask mandates. There's some judges coming out and making the vaccine mandates illegal. They're dropping them. And I think the OSHA now is going to drop the entire mandate now because a federal judge now has come out and put a restraining on it. That went to the Supreme Court. Somehow they got kicked back to a federal judge, and that judge said that it has to be a stay on that until we make a decision. So right now, the OSHA mandate is gone, which is interesting because that included the medical mandate. However, everybody's pretty much that's been vaccinated is vaccinated at this point. It's going to get vaccinated. Everybody's been fired. It's going to be fired, laid off, whatever's going on there. There's a very small number of people now, which doesn't matter. If there's just one, their rights need to be protected. Again, I quote from Kennedy, if the rights of one man are threatened, the rights of every man are diminished. If rights of one man are diminished, if rights of every man are threatened. One of those ways. If they attack one person, if they can attack one person, everybody loses rights. We're all threatened by that. So, my lukewarm chocolate. For those of you who cannot see me right now, because you're listening, you have the low quality listening effect right now of. Just listening. You don't get the full video with the faces and stuff. I feel bad for you because you're really missing out on this incredible video experience of seeing my face. That's about it. That's about all you're seeing. And you do get to see the cup, which is probably more important. Well, I'll just do this with the cup. That actually looks better. There we go. This is the cup. There we go. How's that? I have a mustache now. That's a cup. In the meantime, some monkeys got loose. Apparently in Pennsylvania. When I first heard about this, I thought it was in another country. A bunch of macaques were being transported from a laboratory that they were doing experiments on. This kind of breaks my heart, actually. So these macaques were being used, apparently, for some kind of lab experiments. The truck tipped over or went into a ditch. So much of them got loose. And some lady was trying to help collect them, and she ended up becoming part of this whole drama, and now she's sick. She has like a pink eye type thing going on. They killed all of the monkeys, all of the macaques. Why would they do that? I'm sure that they probably incinerated them already. They probably have burned them all. Now, my understanding is there was a few that got loose and they couldn't find them. I think they have found them now, I guess, apparently. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's one or two that haven't been accounted for. And we're probably going to have all of a sudden some kind of, you know, the country's going to be overrun by Planet of the Apes kind of thing. The Planet of the Macaques, whatever. It's just interesting that that has happened in the midst of all this. And it's kind of a crazy, again, that's just another thing where, you know, most crazy sci-fi movies start off with some guy in a lab coat saying everything's going to be okay. And it involves some monkey that gets loose. Just saying, we're living a dream here, folks. We're living the movie. I also wanted to let you know, I do have a bottle, a backup bottle of water here. Just a small one. For those of you just listening, you can't see what's going on, but I'm drinking from a huge bottle of water. We have this the situation on Capitol Hill right now. And my understanding is that Biden apparently called Peter Ducey and apologized. But for those of you who haven't heard about it, I think I might have mentioned it last night. Apparently, good old kind-hearted old Uncle Joe called Peter Ducey a stupid son of a you-know-what on a hot mic. Now, the interesting thing, it's not so much that I find that interesting that he would say, because he's that kind of person. If you've ever listened or watched him behind the scenes, and I think this is one of the reasons he's never been able to poll better and never been able to be a candidate for the Democrat Party until this last year when everything was falling apart and they finally had to come up with somebody and they just installed Joe as the candidate for the Democrat Party. In my opinion, I think one of the reasons people felt safe about voting for him is because he seemed to be a moderate. Now, 81 million people? No, it didn't happen. I'm not going for that. Now, if there would have been like 30 million people show up to vote for Trump and 81 million people show up to vote for Biden, I would have probably thought, okay, that's possible. But to have more people vote for Trump than ever any other Republican Party, ever Republican candidate ever in the history of this country, and then to have Biden outperform that by millions of votes, I'm sorry, there's something wrong there. The math just doesn't cut it for me. I'm not going along with that. And if you can censor me or whatever you want to do, you can disagree with whatever you want to do. I'm not agreeing with it. I don't care what you think of Joe, what you think of Trump. I don't care. That's just wrong. There's no way. Whatever. There are people who think that, oh, just a bunch of millions of people showed up and voted for the guy. I don't think so. Having said that, the issue we have here right now is that even Democrat voters right now are not happy about this guy. From what he did here with Peter Ducey. Now, I was watching an Arrow News, which is a UK news program, and apparently there's a lot of people from the UK actually watch this channel, the UK channel, YouTube channel. And they were making comments. They said, oh, this just makes Joe seem like he's more human. And this I actually like Joe now better because he called... And they were saying bad things about Ducey and how he was... Oh, he's just speaking the truth. Now, these are probably all robots. I wouldn't be surprised if there's just three guys doing this whole thing in a room somewhere making all these comments. Because this is... If they are from another country, they have no idea what they're talking about. All they're getting is news. Other countries... I have friends that went to other countries, to Europe and London, while Obama was in office, and they just thought Obama was the best thing ever, just the most amazing president ever. It's greatest person in the world. No problems with his administration. No, what do you call it? No scandals. And even in this country, that was the way he was tried. They tried to portray him in this country as well. No scandals, scandal free, perfectly, squeaky clean, not a smidgen. A smidgen of impropriety. I could name a few. And, of course, all you're going to say is it's a conspiracy. No, there was actual literal things that happened during his administration that, in fact, happened under the Trump administration, and people were saying that Trump was a criminal and should go to jail and blah, 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 blah. But worse things happened, actually, under Obama's administration. And... In fact, some of the things that happened under the Trump administration happened to Trump from the bureaucrats there. It was the other way around. and yet you still think Trump is bad. And I even know people who think that unvaccinated people are just following Trump orders. No, that's unfortunately, that's not the way that works, because Trump is out there pro-vaccine, telling everybody to get the vaccine. And people aren't getting the vaccine because Trump supporters aren't getting the vaccine because they're not following Trump's orders. You see, there's a difference between liberty and individualism and understanding where this country came from. And supporting that, and supporting a leader because of that. And here's you know, I was just thinking about this evening because I was eating my double butter burger with cheese at Culver's. I had separate Culver's. It's negative degrees out here in Appleton right now, and I just decided to stay in my car and go to the drive-thru. I wasn't going to go inside any place and eat. In fact, I almost didn't venture out. It's supposed to get down to negative 14 or 16 or whatever it's supposed to get down to tonight, and I just didn't feel like participating in the outdoor activities this evening. But I did. I went out, got something to eat. As I was doing that, I was thinking about this whole thing about the government and how I was listening to BCP, who is Open Source News, Black Conservative Patriot. He has a show on YouTube. He's got some of the other channels as well. And it was interesting. One of the things he was saying is something I've said all along. But he articulated it, and it kind of in a way that it kind of rang true with me. And I came to this conclusion or this thought, which was to complete the thought, is that when people on the left who are in government talk about the government or they talk about the democracy, they're talking about their government, them. They're talking about them being the government, not the people. They're talking about them being the government and them being, it's their democracy. Now, you stop and think about this, and this makes perfect sense, because when they're on the campaign trail, many times they will say anything. They will say whatever they want to say. And they think it's justified because that gets them into power, and that just that power justifies the end, justifies the means. I've said that before many times. That's their whole philosophy. That's their only standard. Now, because the end justifies the means, just getting into power is enough. They have to make enough promises to get into power, and that's all it takes. That once they're in power, that's the goal. That's the end game. And that is what they do. So they get into power. And once they do that, they are now the government. They don't see the people as being the government and representing those people. They see themselves as the government. That is a huge difference in the perspective between the leftists and those who are constitutionalists, even traditional Democrats, who are on the side of true constitutionalism. There are plenty of Republicans out there that just play the Republican side. They don't necessarily believe in all the Republican platforms, but they'll go along, they'll toe the water just to stay in power, because they're power hungry as well. They're just as big on, I would say, power mongers as anybody else on the left, just for the different reasons. They just use the other side to stay in there. We had a particular representative in Indiana for a while who maintained a centrist mentality or a conservative mentality when it came to running. And whenever he would speak or whenever he would talk about things, he would act like he was a centrist. He voted 95% of the time, 96% of the time, I think it was, with the left. But to hear him talk, you would think he was, you know, this conservative Democrat. He was not at all. They're really good at that. They are good at portraying a particular centrist mentality. Joe did that during the campaign. He played on that whole idea that he was more of a moderate. He wasn't a total leftist, and he's totally controlled by him. Everything that this whole Build Back Better program, all this spending that they want to do. Of course, Bernie wanted $30 trillion, so I guess he did hold him back a little bit. I guess in that respect, he's a little bit more moderate. So this whole thing is based on power, keeping power, spending the money to keep, they have to keep the money flowing in order to keep the water flowing to all the different little organizations that they need to. Now this whole thing with the border right now, though, of course the Ukraine border, Ukraine border is more important than our Mexican-U.S. border. It's okay for people to come across the border. There was a recent report today, if you heard about it, it's been reported at least on some conservative channels. That there was busloads of individuals being relocated, I want to say redistributed, around the country. And they are single men of military age. This, I mean, if you were to import a military, if there was an invasion, this is what it would look like. These would be the individuals doing it. And of course, all we hear about is, well, it's just mothers and children coming across the border to escape economic hardship. So that's what we're being told. And yet there's thousands upon thousands and upon thousands of single, young, military-age men coming across the border and staying and being relocated in this country. They're not armed. Now, this is, and of course, now the administration would say this is the difference between the Ukraine invasion, the Russia invasion of Ukraine, and the difference between the Mexican people coming across the border is that, well, these are just individuals coming across the border, and it's not Mexico attacking us, or trying to encroach on our border. This is just people coming across our border. Have you talked to some of these people? They may be escaping. Hardship and economic issues. There's also people coming across the border who want to see the U.S. taken back. If you've ever heard of La Raza, if you've ever heard of a couple of different organizations that want to see basically the entire Southwest retaken by Mexico. They want to be their own country. They want to be, plenty of people coming across the border have that philosophy. Let alone the fact that we're letting people come across the border who are not vaccinated, who are not, have all kinds of other diseases, let alone you know, COVID. Now, the whole vaccination thing, whatever. But what bothers me about that is that there are people in this country who can't go downtown and have a meal in a restaurant because the government tells the restaurant owners that they can't serve people who are unvaccinated. And even though that doesn't matter because now it's spreading like wildfire anyway. But I think that the tide is turning on this thing. People are starting to realize this vaccine was a dismal failure with regard to doing what it was supposed to do, what we were told it was supposed to do. There are people in the centrist. There's a fellow, I think it was on Bill Maher, Politically Incorrect, whatever his show is now that he's got. Some lady on there was ranting. And she was kind of a centrist. And the crowd actually applauded her because she said, I did everything. I wore the mask. I got the vaccines. I wore the mask. I stayed in my house. I did all these things. I watched all the episodes of whatever. And she said, I'm done. She said, I'm just done. I'm done. This didn't work. It's still out there. We're still having the problems. We're still having the issues. And she's just done. And they got thunderous applause from that. I think people are tired of it. They're done. This is the end of it. We're done with all the mandates. We're done with all the stuff. And I think that the people are finally... But now, hopefully it's not too late. The problem with this is they have now set a precedent. They now know how far we push the public. And in fact, there was this whole religious exemption thing that everybody was filling out paperwork. Right away, everybody was trying to get their religious exemption in and trying to get approved for their religious exemptions in some of their workplaces. A friend of mine sent me his, and he needed a signature on his religious exemption. And he needed me to validate his, to say that, I, you know, he basically needed a witness statement that his statements are true and that he was, that I knew him and his faith was sincere. First of all, it's not up to an employer or the government to decide whether or not my faith is sincere. When I read that, I would have been like, I wouldn't fill it out. I don't know. Now, I understand that's just my opinion. I wouldn't have filled it out. Because, first of all, it's not so much that I'm, you know, righteous and not going to fill something like that out. It's that I don't want to put my employer in the position of deciding whether or not my faith is real. That's kind of an area of judgment that there's only really one that can do that. It makes me really uncomfortable to think that someone else is going to decide whether or not my religion is valid. Or that my religion is sincere, that my beliefs are sincere. I don't do that with other people. I mean, I have questions sometimes. I'm not gonna make a decision on that. I fight with that because I do tend to want to, but I realize I'm putting myself in a judgment position at that point, judging their hearts, and I can judge their actions. I can judge the stupid as a stupid does, but I can't. You may not be stupid, but you do something stupid, whatever. Stupid is a stupid does. It's in the Bible somewhere, I'm pretty sure. It's not, by the way. Just, that's a joke. So this whole thing was coming out, and I got this creepy feeling that it's like, they're going to use this against you. First of all, it's putting your employer and the government in this weird position of being able to say whether or not there is an approved religion. And in fact, some leaders even came out. The mayor of New York came out and said, I have talked to the four major religious leaders in this in our city, and they all agree with me, that they all agree that we should be vaccinated. This vaccine is a gift from God. So what? Those are four religious leaders. I can have my own religion. It's called freedom of religion. And it doesn't matter if anybody else has that religion. It doesn't have to be established. It doesn't have to. There's no establishment of religion by the government or by an institution. Religion is every single human being's right to practice as they see fit, not practice as someone else sees fit or some established religion that is seen nowhere in the Constitution. If you want to worship pine cones, you can worship pine cones, and that is your God, and that's your problem. But that is the reality of it is, that is your religion, and I am not going to question it. I don't have the right. I have the right to theologically question it. I don't have the right to say it's an invalid religion in terms of your freedom to do so. You have the freedom to do it. I have the freedom to criticize it. Very carefully, I might add, because the one I'm concerned about is who's judging me. Judge not that you be not judged. So I have to be careful about judging. Judge with righteous judgment. Anyway, whatever. Those of you who are missing out on the video are really missing out on the graphics. My hand signals. All that stuff. There you go. You're really missing out on the show here. And the cup. Yeah, you got to see the cup. So that's another part of it, too. But So it's very just very interesting what's going on right now with all this stuff. Now, the whole thing with JoJo, I guess, now Joe apparently did call Peter Doocy and apologize. I don't know whether that's, he just did it because somebody told him he had to do that, probably. If he wouldn't have gotten caught on a hot mic, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have apologized. He wouldn't have said, hey, I said something about you the other day. I need, and that's really the true nature. It's the true character of a person is if they're harboring something in their heart that's bad against you, and they say something like that, regardless of who hears them, they will approach you and say, you know what? I've had some bad feelings about you. I want to get over that. Let's get to know each other. Let's go have some coffee and talk. I've got some issues with some things you said, and I found myself getting bitter about you. I want to work through this. If you're willing to, I would like to talk to you about it. If you don't care, then that's fine. But I want to talk about it. Because it's not about relationship with these people. It's about their power and you kowtowing to them. Compliance and unity to these people is compliance. Your unity to these people is compliance with what they want. If you don't comply, you're the problem. They're not the problem. You're the problem. So, again, I digress. I'd like to just, conclude the show here with a little bit of, I don't know what, with nothingness, I guess. Oops, what did I just do there? There we go. The Ukraine thing. It seems to be a very... It's a touchy situation right now. Tucker Carlson was going on about it and talking about how why are we going to Ukraine? Why are we pouring? I don't know who's paying for all this. I don't know if they're paying for, us for this, if there's a trade agreement, if there's something going on, we're putting tons and tons of military supplies, anti-tank supplies and all kinds of, we're supplying them very well right now with what they need to stave off a potential attack. My understanding is, I thought that Putin had moved his 100,000 troops away from the border, but apparently they're saying that the 100,000, there are some reporters saying that there's 100,000 troops on the border. My understanding is there's not that many on the border. That was during an exercise. Now, if there are 100,000 troops at the border with all of the might that Russia has against the army that is Ukraine, which I think is about 10,000, if I remember right. Now, we're talking about putting 8,500 of our troops on alert, on high alert. High alert. Double secret, top secret, high alert. You know we have military there now. There's no place on the planet that we don't talk about that we don't have military in before we go send our military. Before we send the military, we send in military. We have boots on the ground prior to boots on the ground. That is just standard. That's SOP for us. Usually special forces, usually all kinds of intel people are there before we send any troops at all. I guarantee you, we have military people there. Now, on top of that, the question is whether or not Putin will actually move. I think he sees an opportunity here to do something, and I think he will do it swiftly and strongly, and it's going to be over with in a week. That's my opinion. I could be wrong about that. I don't know. But I think it's very possible. It could be over with very quickly. So we're sitting kind of on pins and needles right now, and it is an issue. And I know that a lot of news organizations are talking about it. Some of them aren't. Some of them are still talking about Trump and issues with people being... Now, at the same time, the very people who are being interviewed by MSNBC and CNN, some of their lead contributors who were inside the Trump administration and are now talking, they're going to jail because of past things that they did that were illegal. So they're on their way to jail. Trump, they're saying they just continue to talk about Trump as if he's going to jail tomorrow. Now they're going after Ivanka and they're getting statements from her and they're getting... January 6th Commission continues to trudge on and it's continued to do its thing. And of course they love it right now because they can kind of do stuff without the news media being breathing down their backs because Ukraine. So this is kind of a smokescreen in some ways. It gives some relief to some of the people who are doing things in the country but it also at the same time, I think the Democrats realize COVID is a very, they were expecting to be gone by now because of the vaccines. They thought they were sitting really pretty when the 2020 elections rolled around and they won. And then I had air quotes though for you who can't see the video. And then the problem is that they thought this vaccine was going to be the answer and they were going to be the ones who were going to, in fact, they were claiming that there wasn't a vaccine until they got into office. And now they're going, you know, that they were really going to be the heroes on this. And here we are another year later and more cases, more deaths, you know, more deaths than there were under the Trump administration. And, you know, in the last year, the numbers have gone up and it's just been one thing after another and they can no longer blame this. Well, they continue to try. But I think obviously nobody's buying that anymore. That's not flying with their little focus groups. So they're not saying it. However, they're also realizing this is going to be a major detriment to them in the upcoming election this year. They're realizing November's coming around pretty quickly. And if they haven't dealt with this COVID thing, now, Omicron, I believe, will be the end of this thing. And they're going to be shutting things down. They're going to be pulling all the mandates. Some parts of Europe, Ireland and England now have actually dropped all mandates or vaccine passports and mandates. So it's gone. UK is about 3 weeks ahead of us. We'll see what happens here by the end of February. I believe that by the end of February, anybody who's still pushing this thing is going to be seen as a tyrant. People are tired of it enough that I think, you know, there are still people shocked. There's some people in big cities, especially in some of the blue states with majorly blue cities who are struggling with all kinds of issues, be it crime or whatever it is. they are scared to death still of COVID, and they're so socially and emotionally shocked that I don't know that they'll get over it right away. This is going to be a very difficult psyche change for some of those people. For them to walk out, in fact, they can't even talk. When you hear about people who can't even talk to someone over a video call without a mask on because that not having the mask on shocks them or triggers them, that is a psychological problem the person has. Okay, that's not a problem with the person not wearing the mask. That's a problem with the person who can't stand looking at someone who's not wearing a mask. There's a psychological problem there. And we have to acknowledge that. This is kind of like mass formation psychosis. It is different than mass hysteria, which is a real thing. It has actually happened before. Mass hysteria has actually gone to the point where people have died from mass hysteria. Massive groups of people have worked themselves into frenzies that they end up dying from. Weird things have happened like that. And this is mass formation psychosis is actually imposed on people. It's when there's a fear that's imposed on people and manipulated into a hysterical reaction or a psychosis activity because of mass hysteria. Gaslighting is what I'm talking about. Gaslighting is a simple term. And that's if you ever watched the movie Gaslight, there's a thing where this husband basically convinces this woman that she's going insane, and he's playing all these tricks on her, he's gaslighting her. And that's exactly what we're doing here with the media and everything that's happening with legacy media. They keep telling you one thing when something else is true. Well, inflation's good for it's only hurts the rich. That's what they're telling us. It only hurts the rich. It's actually just the opposite. Inflation does not hurt the rich. It hurts the common worker more than anybody else. And I've laid that out in this program and why it does that, because your wages aren't going up with inflation. Your wages, in fact, your wages would have to go up faster than inflation in order to maintain a standard cost of living increase. When inflation outpaces your wages, you can work an hour to buy a meal. When that meal goes up in price, now you have to work an hour and a half to buy that same meal. Your work is worth less than it was before. Simple math. I call it cheeseburger economics. If you're flipping burgers, making burgers, if it takes you an hour to flip burgers and make enough money to buy a Happy Meal, then if it takes you an hour and a half of working that same job, flipping burgers, to buy a Happy Meal, guess what? You're making less now, because everything around you is costing more, and your wages are not keeping up with that. The only people that helps is the people at the top, the rich people, who have their money invested in wealth, not U.S. dollars. Wealthy people don't have a bunch of money sitting in a bank account. I mean, they do. They have, compared to me, they got a bunch of money sitting in a bank account. But that's not where most of their wealth is. Their wealth is invested in things. And when the price of those things goes up, like property, businesses, intellectual property, whatever it might be, when the value of those things goes up, they're sitting there going, yeah, thank you very much. I'm worth more now. When the value of what you have is basically your car and your home, your home is the only thing that can go up in value possibly during an inflationary time, that you might make more. Now, there are people out there who want to basically, there's this philosophy out there about you're going to own nothing and be happy. They want you to be a renter of everything. They want you to not own a car. That basically cars will be a rental service, or you'll join a club to use a car. It's car share. Everybody's going to do a car share, kind of like the bike share thing. Now, you know how that works out. You see bikes in the rivers and bikes out on the just left in piles everywhere in cities where they have this bike share program. People just grab a hold of them and start using them, and they just leave them wherever. And that's what's going to happen with cars. This car share program, it's not a great idea. Have you seen the way some people take care of their cars? This is not going to work. You think they're going to take better care of it because it's not theirs? No, that's not going to happen. So they want you to rent your apartment. So now at this point, now you have no wealth at all. You just live a weekly paycheck to paycheck life, maybe save up some money. And then when you do save up some money, what are you going to buy? Nintendo. That's what you. You're not going to buy a home. You're not going to buy a car because you don't need one. You know, you're not going to buy a house because you're not allowed to. You're just allowed to rent a car, a renter house. Property values would be so extremely high that you can't afford to buy one anyway. So you're going to be stuck in this chattel movement, where you're a workaday type thing. And basically they want to keep everybody in debt anyway. They want to just you borrow all your money, live like the American dream by borrowing money and then working your way out of the hole. And hopefully you'll be out of the hole before you die when you retire, and then you live on a fixed income in a nursing home for $1,000 a month the rest of your life. It's a great plan. And now, fortunately, people like Dave Ramsey are fighting back against that, and people are getting out of debt and building actual wealth. And even if it's on a small scale, you're still investing money in things that are going to hold their value against the hedge of inflation. What we have right now is what I call rampant inflation. I don't think we even realize we haven't. This is just ramping up. It's not even to the point where it's full blown yet. I think we're going to see prices go up ridiculously. Now, I've just noticed recently, I went to a restaurant the other day, ordered the same thing I've always ordered. The plate, it was interesting. One restaurant I ordered something, and the plate was the same size, but you could tell that there was a definite difference in the amount of food that was in the plate, because it was a smaller portion. Same price, smaller portion. Another place I went to eat, and the portion was smaller. So was the plate. So it didn't look smaller if you didn't pay attention. You felt like a giant. All of a sudden, you used to get a plate this big, full of food. Then you get a plate this big. And you think, man, I must be getting huge. I'm still eating the same thing here, but it's huge. So you get done eating it, and you realize, I'm still hungry. I'm not full like I used to be. I used to waddle out, in the one case where the plate was the same size, but the portion was smaller, I used to usually get leftovers. I would eat like half of it and take the rest of it home and heat it up later for something, for like another meal. Wasn't much left. I had leftovers, but it actually came in a small box. She brought out a small box for me. And I was like, I don't know if you can get it all in there. I was like, yeah, oh yeah, it'll fit because there's not much left. I mean, I usually get the main, the real meal box. This box was like this big. Obviously, we are getting shrinkflation. That's what I call it. It's shrinkflation. It's costing the same, but you're getting less, which is the same thing as, if you want to buy the same amount, it's going to cost you more. It's just like the old potato chip thing that happened recently. This is just in my lifetime. Potato chip bags used to be completely full of potato chips. Now, of course, they went through this whole thing where the potato chip price stayed the same, but the contents of the bag, and the bag stayed the same. Bag size stayed the same, but the contents of the bag decreased. This is where we are again today. They're fighting against their competitors by trying to get less and not letting you know it, but keeping their price the same while their competitors raise the price. That's where the problem comes in. So that's what starts to happen. That's what we're starting to see happen right now. So that's kind of where we are with regard to the whole thing that's happening. So I digress. The news according to me, thank you for tuning in, subscribing, listening to this live podcast. If you're listening, I still haven't figured out a way to respond to anybody that's responding to me or during the podcast. Once again, it's getting pretty loud. Music's getting loud. Hopefully you can still hear me. I'm going to turn it down just a little bit. God bless everybody. Thanks for listening, and have a great night. We will be back tomorrow with another show. Good night, everybody. God bless.